Last week, a bill was introduced to federal parliament that would require companies with an annual turnover of more than $100 million to provide annual reports on the risk of modern slavery in their business. A similar act was legislated in the UK 3 years ago, and last month, the New South Wales Parliament passed its own Modern Slavery Act. So what will this mean for big business? Justine Nolan is an Associate Professor of Law at the University of New South Wales, and she joins me on the line now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, what is modern slavery?
So modern slavery is something that people tend to think, you know, used to only happen in the old days, but it's a sort of a compilation of offences. So in its essence, it's like severe exploitation in the workforce. So it might mean something what we call like forced labour, where people are forced to work against their will or under some threat of penalty. It might mean that people have been recruited to work in deceptive conditions. So they've been promised certain wages and they're seriously underpaid, or they're working in seriously sort of exploitative conditions.
Now, if this bill were to be passed through federal parliament, what would companies need to do?
So it's going to affect companies. We think about 3,000 companies in Australia with a turnover of more than $100 million. And what they're going to have to do is publish an annual public report on basically the risks of modern slavery in their operations. So they're going to be forced to look into their supply chains and then report publicly on what they find and what they're doing to assess that risk.
And how deep might that risk assessment have to go?
That's a really interesting question, and that's something that is not quite clear. But what seems to be the intent, at least the spirit of the law, is that they go quite deep into it. So you can't just go to, say, your first supplier. What you're looking into is also their suppliers, their subcontractors. So it might mean asking the right questions to those suppliers. So it's beyond what we call tier one suppliers, who are those where you have that immediate legal relationship, but going quite deep into supply chains. And companies overseas who are doing this and doing it well are sort of going right down to the point of manufacture.
Now, speaking of overseas, what impact has this bill had in the UK, for example, where it was passed 3 years ago?
It's had a huge impact. So it's a much larger number of companies in the UK who are reporting, more like 12,000. And it's really involved companies looking into how they make the goods and where they're getting the people that are doing the work for them. Issues that companies are aware of but really haven't been forced to tackle. And companies have really started to have to, you know, hire specialists around this area, labour specialists, human rights specialists, to look into how their goods are made.
And what are some of the bill's shortcomings?
So it's definitely, there is an act in the UK, as you said, that's passed a few years ago. And this one is definitely an improvement on that, the biggest one being that the government itself is going to report on its supply chains. But there's a couple of areas where it falls short. So it talks about companies being required to report. So it's mandatory that you have to report. But there's actually no penalties attached if you don't report. So what it's doing is it's sort of relying on consumers and public and NGOs to sort of stand up and say, you know, as a company, you're not doing it and we're going to force you to do it. The other thing that's distinct, say, from the UK is that they've got a person who's an anti-slavery commission who sort of has oversight. The commissioner has oversight of what's going on, and we haven't created that position. And so at the moment, it's sort of going to be housed in government, in home affairs, but the real questions, I think, remain around compliance and forcing companies to report.
We're speaking with Associate Professor Justine Nolan about modern slavery and the modern slavery bill that is making its way through federal parliament. Now, as you said, it's had a huge impact in the UK, but what caused these companies to change their practices? Was it the consumer? Were they compelled by the government once they'd found these practices and reported upon them?
Nearly everything in this area, sort of around business and human rights, has been sort of forced into, companies have been reactive. So there inevitably has tended to be a major scandal, which has then, you know, cumulatively forced people to act. And in this case, in the UK, there was a number of workers. There was a series of scandals, but particularly there was one with workers on an oyster farm, basically found working in horrific conditions as slaves. There was other examples found in construction. And companies as a one-off started to sort of address some of the problems. But in the UK, the government decided that it had to act. Now, Australia hasn't had that sort of massive mea culpa moment in terms of business. And so the Australian government is perhaps being a little bit more proactive here. But around the world, you've seen disasters like the Rana Plaza collapse, factory collapse in Bangladesh in 2013. Then that forces changes. And so what we're trying to do here is not wait for the next disaster, not wait for workers to die, but to proactively ask companies to look into how they're manufacturing the goods, how they're recruiting people that work for them.
Now, are these is modern slavery often happening in far off places in second and third world countries, or is it sometimes happening closer to home?
So that's what everyone tends to think. We tend to think of slavery, that, you know, if it still exists, then it's, you know, it's the construction workers in Qatar, it's the Thai fishermen serving on boats for years on end. And those examples are true. But the parliamentary inquiry that went on last year found that there were probably over 4,000 people in Australia working in this, in conditions that would amount to modern slavery. So this is more likely, the high-risk areas in Australia are agriculture, construction, some retail, cleaning services. So these are all, we're not talking about people in chains. We're talking about people who are being exploited for their work and seriously exploited, not being paid, often being housed in, not being able to leave the places where they're housed. And this is happening in Australia as well. Domestic work is another. The numbers are much smaller, but it shouldn't happen, and it is happening.
Now, if this bill were to be passed and it becomes something that's important to stamp down upon, what's next after the modern slavery bill?
I think that what would be important in Australia next is to sort of take a much broader view around the relevance of human rights to companies. So here the bill is sort of really shining a spotlight on one particular horrific practice, of exploitive work practice, around slavery. But generally, there's been a much stronger movement around the world in recent years for companies to look at how they're operating and respect a broad array of human rights. And I think it is time for Australian companies to catch up with their sort of, particularly their other Western counterparts, and sort of look at, reassess how they're operating, the demands that they're placing on their suppliers, and taking a broader approach. So I think this is a first step. This is a law that will get companies' attention, because the board has to sign off on this, so there's going to be this responsibility from the top up. But I think it may be the beginning of more changes in Australia.
Well, Justine, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning.
Thanks very much.
Justine Nolan from University of New South Wales speaking with us about modern slavery and the modern slavery bill, which is making its way through federal parliament.